Lily of the Valley, we acknowledge your presence this morning. Lord, we lift up the banner of your name. We declare your majesty. We proclaim that you alone are worthy. You alone are holy. You deserve the glory. And therefore, we have come into your presence this morning to magnify your holy name. We have come into your presence to pray and to praise you. Lord, to adore you. Lord, to lift up the banner of your name. We thank you, the all-knowing, the almighty God. Our God that is gracious and faithful, dependable and reliable. You are not like man that you should lie, neither are you the son of man that you should change. Lord, we thank you because you are mindful of us. We thank you because whatsoever you say you will do, that is what you always do. Lord, thank you because you have commanded fruitfulness in our lives. And you are faithful to establish your counsel concerning us in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Yes. To receive glory, honor, and power. For thou art created all things, and for thy pleasure they have and were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou art created all things, and they are and were created. Who is like unto thee? O Lord, who is like unto thee? O you are glorious in holiness and faithful in praises. Do in wonders, hallelujah. You are glorious in holiness and faithful in praises. Do in wonders, hallelujah. You are glorious in holiness and faithful in praises. Do in wonders, hallelujah. Who is there like thee, O Lord? You have created us, yes, sir, You are calling us to be your very own. We lift our hands to the great I am, who was and is and is to come. We lift our hands to the who can compare with you, and we will say that you are good, and all the miracles you've done has brought us joy. And we are changed, and all the hope we have, we place in you right now. Father, we declare that we love you. We declare everlasting love for you. Father, we declare that we love you. We declare everlasting love for you, my God. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you will. Yes, Lord Jesus. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Lord, let me be. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. In your hand, oh God, let us be. Let us be a sweet, sweet sound. In your hand, oh Lord. In your hearing, let me be, Lord. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound. In your let me be, oh God, let it be a sweet. edge is broken, the serpent will bite. When the edge is broken, it opens up to serpent bites. Why an owl has the edge been broken? Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I am prepared to give 3 minutes of waiting this morning. If there is anybody sick in your family, get them on this altar. The word of God has power to produce results, but beloved, insight is required and understanding to grow. And when we grow, then we begin to go. And insight helps us to discover the reason for the trouble. When God begins to download some of those situations and give me insights, I reminded him that, Father, but you gave me a promise. And your promise to me is that you will tell me what to do, and that is the way that you have always dealt with me. And the Lord begins to speak to me about only mercy. Only mercy is going to avail this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, the word of the Lord said in verse 7, I have seen slaves riding on horses. I have seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking like slaves on the land. If Prince Charles is walking and the man that lives in the cardboard house is now riding on horses, somebody needs to call a question. There is a problem somewhere. According to the structure in this land, Prince Charles have access to whatever the queen have access to, even though he's not on the throne. He is a child, a son of the king, not even to talk of his grandchildren. William and Harry, they have access to certain things that you and I don't have access to. So if the privileges that are available to Prince Charles, to his children, who are all the sons and the grandchildren of the queen, if they don't now enjoy the privileges, and the privileges that belongs to them have been enjoyed by the man on the streets, somebody needs to ask a question. Healing is the children's bread. It is completely clear to me that the virtue and the grace of God could not have worked in my life if God has not given me passion and give me, if I don't have passion towards a person, there's no point praying, because I cannot help that person. The help of that person for that individual, the ministry to that person has not been given to me. I cannot force it. I cannot force it. Jeremiah, God says to Jeremiah, you will go to all that I have sent you. So it means that it's not everybody I send you to. Jesus said, when you go into people's houses, told his disciples, he said, when they do not receive you, shake the dust of your feet and walk away from the place. But God's word without any taboo, without mixing words, said that there is an issue. Solomon felt like I felt. He said, I have seen slaves. I have seen slaves. I have seen slaves walking on horses. And princes walking like slaves on the land. Why? Because he that digs a pit falls into it. And a serpent may bite him who breaks through a wall. Mysteries. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits logs may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull, it does not sharpen its edge. When he must exact mustering, wisdom has the advantage of giving success. So it is not God's desire for the princes to walk like slaves. God is not in it. When Prince Charles and his children are walking like slaves in the land, the slaves can rise because they are not to remain as slaves for life. So don't expect my situation to remain the same. I am designed by God to grow and to go forward. So slaves are not always remaining as slaves. But beloved, it will be critical for the head to be the tail, because that is contrary to the word of the living God. I was very so much distressed yesterday. And I said to God, I don't know how I can do ministry if you don't help me. I called someone. Yes, I know. Pastor Ellen is on the live radio and the world is hearing her. Yes. Pastor Ellen is not looking for a name or a fame with anyone. I am sent. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save the lost. I have come to seek and to save the lost. I have come to seek and to save the lost. Those who are not sick, they don't need a physician. They can shackle to church. They can shackle to the pastor. They can be proudful. They can be anything. But Jesus' mission was critically made clear. Matthew chapter 18. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. So his assignment was pretty clear. Beloved, he said, those who don't get it, those are the people that I came for. So I come to understand that Jesus didn't come in his assignment trying to reach the people who he was not trying to make the Pharisees and the Sadducees to change. He was not wasting his time with them. Beloved, he was focused. They were angry with him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus has just healed the paralytic man. And he went out, saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at the tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything and followed him. The most unexpected followed Jesus. And Levi gave a big reception for Jesus in his house. The tax collector received him. And beloved, he threw a party. He celebrated the King of Glory. He made room for Christ in his house. But those who thought he does not deserve to have Jesus in his house were mumbling and grumbling and complaining. And beloved, a great crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them, the Savior. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? That is why the church is going to see something in our end time that would dumbfound us because the people that we thought are far from Christ, they are the people that we will see when we get to heaven. Because Jesus has reached out to them one way or the other. I love Jesus. They were talking to his disciples. They were not talking to Jesus. But when you talk and challenge the Jesus that I serve, you are setting yourself up to get an answer from the one that sent me that will defend himself. The one who calls them as his followers. They were complaining to his disciples. They were murmuring against his disciples. They were grumbling at his disciples. They were not speaking directly to Jesus. For a man that is under authority and who know whom you serve, he can defend you. Evil of grumbling, complaining. They were murmuring. They didn't go to Jesus. At least you have a case with Jesus. Deal with Jesus. They are not that bold. But Jesus answered and said to them, beloved, as a prevailer this morning, we must cry out to Jehovah. We must not be ignorant and be ignorant to our own detriment. Jesus answered the Pharisees. The Sadducees. The writers of the law, the readers of the law, they know the Bible. They are the ones that challenge everything in the world. But yet, they have issues. And Jesus said, those who are well, they have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, those who are well, have no need of physician. Because only those who are sick go to the accident and emergency. But those who are sick will dial ambulance and say, come. Even if they ring the ambulance number and the ambulance don't show up on time, they can call many times. And the 999, when they dial 999, 999 will tell them, we've got a call from this house before. They say, yes, but we have not received the call. Nobody has come. Is it police or is it ambulance? Ambulance. What is your number? Blah, blah, blah. But the ambulance is on its way. We are yet to see. It is an urgent case. I'm dealing this morning with urgent cases that everyone must attend to. Beloved, because the princes are walking like slaves, and the slaves, evil slaves. Are riding on horses. Why? Because the pit has been dug. There are diggers of pits who are falling into their pit. Whether there is a direct digging or somebody dug the pit on the behalf of another. So the pit was dug. When the airman dug a pit, he ended up in the pit. It was too late for him. Because when you dig a pit for somebody sent by God, you are just setting yourself up to see the God of the sent one defending whom he has sent. They have broken through the wall. And therefore the serpent had bitten. They have broken through the wall. Beloved, that is why the gate man Mordecai, an ordinary slave man, to human being, every minister is a servant of God. They sit as watchmen at the gates. They sit as watchmen at the tower, wanting and waiting to serve the principle of the kingdom. They are not the people that you see sitting in the palace also. Their antenna must be, beloved, must be in the right place at all times. That is where you will see men behave inappropriately, but Moses will be crying out unto God. Beloved, on behalf of the children of Israel, what you have to know is that even when members of Moses' family Numbers 12:1, it shows us that Miriam and Aaron, they spoke against Moses, their own brother. God is not a joker when it comes to the people that he sends. Every sent man cost, beloved, there is a price that is paid. He said, to be my followers, you must be willing to leave everything. Forsake all and follow Christ. Forsake all and follow Christ. They pay the price of letting go of what you deem important to follow Christ. Peter said, we have left everything. We have left everything. We have left everything. Other people might still be debating. We have left everything to follow you. A servant is a servant that follows Christ and leaves everything behind. Luke chapter 18. The rich young ruler still have confidence in his stuff that is making a lot of money for him. You go and leave your stuff one day and say, I don't want money. I don't want business. I do not want my career anymore. I'm going to follow Christ. Abandon your job and go and follow Christ. Then we will know whether you will really follow. It is easy to read the story of the rich young ruler that Jesus, he said, I have been good. I gave the offering. I gave the tithe. I don't cheat anybody. I do not take advantage because I have all that I need, sufficient enough not to take advantage of any man. And Jesus looked at him lovingly. He said, okay now, get rid of the stuff. Give it away so that you have no access to it anymore. And then come, follow me. And that man in Luke chapter 18 left sorrowfully. Beloved, as believer, you must come to a state where we'll think, if God knocks my door today and tell me to walk out of the business, walk out of my job, and walk out of the things that I consider important to me, that sustains my family, that, beloved, does everything. Beloved, there is no money in the bank account if you don't work. If that is what you have known, if God has to knock your door and tell you and say, son, I gave you this job. I gave you this business. I want you to leave it and come follow me. Or peradventure, God has to come to you. I want to send you to a village somewhere to reach out to them and leave your family alone. I will take care of them. And you that have never left home before, whether you will say to God, oh yes, I will jump on the next bus. Or you will be like a Jonah. God said that city, they are full of rot. I am about to wipe them out. But I want you to go and tell them. Because God knew that when he spoke to them, they were in sin, but they don't recognize why they are behaving appalled in an appalling way. But all that they know is that business is good. Beloved, Nineveh is the center of where the enterprise is. It is a place where the arbor of all the boats. The boss business boats take off there. They landed there. Businesses was doing good. Every boat sailed on their sea, but yet they were prospering, but at the expense of their soul, at the expense of their connectivity with God. And nobody has told them. And God has to say, I created them. I own the ocean. I gave the wisdom to calm the boats. Mr. Jonah, all I want you to do, you must have looked despised. You might even be envious and think these are seen as prospering. But me, I follow God. I don't even have not even a boat to consider a boat. But I lack opportunity to trade in the same thing that they were doing. But God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them that judgment is about to rock their boat. They have rocked the city with their money. They have rocked the economy. They have what it takes. Everybody buys from them. Everybody sells to them. Every enterprise wants to relocate to Nineveh because business was good there. But tell them, I am the reason why things are flourishing. But if you don't tell them, they cannot change. And then you are thinking, they are not, they better be doomed for life. At least they have enjoyed their portion. And beloved, and a Jonah decided to go the other way. You wonder why he ended up in the rot. He was going to create problems for other people. He had forgotten that God can defend his own name. God does not want to wipe them away. So when God said, I have not come after those who are not sick, I came for the sick so that they can be healed. I came for the lost so that they can be saved. Beloved, so I want to help us this morning. I was distressed and upset by what the Lord told me and what he showed me. He said, many are sick. Even many are pining away. Because they have touched my anointed. They have tampered with my prophets. How have we touched his anointed? How? When the wife of Abraham was hijacked, the Lord told the king, he said, if you don't return to that man his wife, you are just but a dead man. God said to him, to Abimelech, though even Abraham was the one who told him, because he was worried about his dear life, but Abraham carries a covenant. And you will see the journey of Abraham. He left all. He left his comfort zone. God said to him in Genesis chapter 12, he said, leave your family. The last few days, I have said, God, I miss my family. I miss my family terribly. He left his family. He left his familiar environment. He left everything that he knew to embark on his call with a promise that God made him. He said, if you will do this, I will bless you. I want to reach the nation, but I need a man. Jesus called his disciples, I want to reach the nation, but I need a people. God is calling you, I want to reach the world, but I need the prevailers. Don't you think for a moment that Pastor Allen is confused for a moment. How can you leave your comfort zone, your good job that pays good money, your great people that you've known all your life, to embark on a journey where the destination is not given to you when you start? Only what God said is that come to a land that I will show you, that I will show you, that I will show you. So when you are off track, when you are distracted, you can lose and miss the person who is guiding you and ended up in the wrong direction. Along his journey, he came because of famine. He told his wife in Genesis 20, as he journeyed to the south country, he said to Sarah, his wife, we are in Gerar now. You have to tell them that you are my sister. And God has to come to the king of Gerar, to Abimelech, in a dream in the night. He said, don't you dare, that man, he left home in Genesis 12. I have come to him a number of times, and I have had covenant with him. In blessing, I will bless you. I will multiply you, and I will make your name great. And through you, the nations of the earth shall be blessed. I need the womb of Sarah. For what I'm about to do, so it is unpollutable. He said to him, Abimelech, you have another person's property in your custody. You are playing with death. He said to him, behold, 23, but thou art but a dead man, for the man which thou art taking, for she's a man's wife. Thou art but a dead man. For what you are. in your custody. Belongs unto another. For all sin, what does not belong to you, you are playing with a dead trap. So God does not joke with a man that forsook all to follow Christ. That is why I say to believers around the earth, don't do God. If you don't want to do God, don't do God 50% and 50% devil and 50% God. Don't do the God that you follow when it is convenient. Don't do the God that you assumed does not see what we do in secret place. We are serving the all-knowing, the all-seeing, the almighty God. God said to Abimelech, the only reason why you are still alive is because you have not touched that woman. You have not touched that woman. You have not touched that woman. But if you are, there would not have been any discussion. Just for our sin, Abraham's wife. Because God's word can never be broken. The man was saying, but I'm innocent. And God said to him, the reason why I came to warn you is that I see that it was in the integrity of your heart that you have taken that woman. But I also want you to know that it's not that you are all that good. I am the one that restrain you so that you don't pollute the womb that will carry the seed. So when you do good 100%, even our mistake, God can still ensure that his interest is protected. And preserved. When we don't know what we are doing. Why would God support Abraham? Abraham was afraid. Abraham was thinking, I got the promise, but I really, in the face of what I'm going through with all of these people, I know what they're like. I don't want the promise to go unfulfilled. Why don't I just ensure that I'm not killed? The promise for the nation, the promise for the world, the blessing of all mankind, it rests upon me. I have left all, my family, my familia, even the only family that I have with me on the journey, I have separated from him. All that I have left is God. Beloved, we have not started ministry. We have not even started following God. When you are not ready to part with all, to partner with God. But if you would dare consider going to the way of God this morning, if you would dare think of absolute surrender this morning, the yoke will be destroyed, the burden will be removed because of the anointing. Let us think through it. If you can point your attention and speak against the pastor. The pastor didn't do this. The pastor did not do that. But if you are going to step in the step of the pastors, how much can you leave? What can you give? How far can you go? When a man is sent, it is important to know that the sender will defend him. God does not, I'm not condoning atrocities in the ministries, because there are men and women of God that God himself must rise and judge them because of the wickedness that has been performed. But for people that follow God, you and I are not mandated to contest or to contend or to fight against that. Beloved, God can defend those whom he sent. Beloved, and there is someone on this altar this morning. Here is your word. Whether on the radio, wherever the individual are or is, there is opportunity to make right what is wrong. In your church, they have two sessions. They have a prayer session number one and they have a prayer session number two. And you come to a situation where you rose with others against your pastor. And I hear you discussing that when the first you are talking about your pastor. You are saying, don't you know that when the first, whatever the pastor do, when he takes the first prayer, it was dealing with his own family. And you broke the prayer, you broke the preaching, you divide it and you are dissecting it, analyzing it, and breaking it down, and all that you are saying with your rest of the... with the rest of you is that the pastor was praying for his family or he was speaking about his family. God sent me to tell you your problem arose from that place. It's not your business to dissect or analyze or to try to speak against the same person who had left it all, forsook all. That man, when he had no collar, when he was still pulling up his trousers, when he needed a belt to hold it together, he was still following God. Now that he has a nice trousers to wear, that is not dropping. It's not your business. You do not know where it came from. God said, if you will cry for mercy, you will be healed. Numbers chapter number 12, verse number 1. Then Miriam, I am, my heart is pleading. This morning, when the Lord showed me, said, of God. The next set of children, they are twins. A boy and a girl. And here is your situation. I saw and I shared the word. The person was saying, the word is a solid meat. The meat of the word that produces your miracle. And beloved, I saw that as the word was being shared, I see one that's been happening, but this person just decided to switch off from the word. And I saw the angels of the Lord just turn back. And the person said, it is like that is not what I need, but that is your word. That is what you needed. For barrenness and delay in fruitfulness to be over. And I saw the indifference. I saw the way the individual despised the world. Because I see that as everyone was coming, the angelic host of God were present to answer every need because they were confirming God's word by sign and with wonders. And the individual despised. Denied, rejected the word. And I saw the angels going. And I was saying, Lord, why? And as the Lord begins to give me understanding, the person crossed the leg was not just there for the word. So if you are not here for the word, there is no point staying around, because in this place the word grew, and that is why we prevail. To prevail, it means you conquer. You conquer the situation that is against you. You rise above the storm. The wind cannot stop you. The demonic thing cannot stand in your way. I was sad. When those that you think will cherish God's word, when God show you that they are the people that want you mercy or alone, I don't know how to translate it in English. They were despising and scorning God's word. And then you wonder, why has my case remain the where it is? Are you that fellow who called a group of people and all that you are discussing is how your pastor ministers? And all that you can see is that you are talking about the house of that pastor. But Miriam and Aaron, they spoke against Moses. They said because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. Beloved, they rose up against him. And they said, as the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses, has he not spoken to us as well? Beloved, they were speaking behind Moses. Moses always faces problems. As the Lord only make him the one that can speak, has he not spoken to us as well? He was not. You have the anointing. These are his own family members. And the Lord had it. They don't know. Did Aaron or Miriam followed Moses when he was in that wilderness for 40 years? Were they there when he was downgraded? Were they there when he found himself grown in the palace but ended in the wilderness? Were they there day to day when the priests become one that is holding a stick leadership? However close they are, whoever they are, whatever the level of relationship, they were not in his thoughts. They were not in his imagination. They were not in his state when he was dying and said, God, I blew it. You gave me a promise, but see how I ended. I thought I was doing it right. I didn't know I stepped out of time. And look, Lord, is the time running out? When am I going to come out of this wilderness? But this is the little assignment you gave me. I will continue to be diligent. I will give my father-in-law my best. You don't know what it means for a man to get a job. Pastor, you mentioned it last month, that the only job that is available to you is that you are working for your father-in-law. You don't have a voice. You really cannot call the shots. It is degrading. Beloved, it is humiliating. It is embarrassing. Beloved, because for me to give you my daughter as a wife, I saw you as a man. I saw you as a man. And when the man become a servant to his father-in-law, he has nothing much left. Beloved, hear ye, because all that I am sent to do, if I do not lay this foundation, this sickness cannot go. Neither can you know how to cry out for the sickness to go. Not just the sickness in the body, financial sickness, mental sickness, career sickness, affliction of the night, oppression that the individual had experienced. Satanic invasion that you have no business having. They said, I can do as much as the Moses can do. They didn't know. They were not there when Moses saw the bush burning and it turned. They had forgotten that it was Moses that gave them the opportunity. Because it was in the presence of the Lord that God, he said to Moses, but he said to God, I cannot speak. They didn't know. What they did not realize is how God had seen Moses. They don't know the record that Moses holds before God. They do not know the covenant that existed between Moses and God. The Bible says Moses was very humble, more than any man who is on the face of the earth. He has been broken. Beloved, he has been beloved. You and I cannot go through a situation. Me, I can't even deal with a pain for 1 minute. I don't have threshold for pain. So if I see people in pain, my heart breaks. any man, it is the one in Israel. He said on the face of the earth, beloved, he has a record in heaven. Heaven has a testimony about him. And beloved, they were speaking against him, but God said, all of you, you can speak better than him. The three of you, even Moses was not aware that something was going on. Somebody is going to leave this altar to go and beg his pastor. And said, you are the one that I sin against. That is why my heaven is closed. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, you three come out to the tent of Mithemabo. So the three of them came out. And God came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent. And he called Aaron and Miriam, the conspirators, the complainants, the murmurers, the grumblers. And he said, when they had both come forward, Moses does not know that anything was going on. He said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, because you have seen yourself on the same level, you have forgotten that he gave you the privilege. If he said he can speak, I would have chosen you. But he said, who will you send with me? You told me to go to the place where I fell before. I needed help. Who is going to go with me? Beloved, they have forgotten that without a Moses, they have no ministry. He said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. Prophet sees vision. I should have spoken with him in dream. Prophets with dream. Beloved, God said to him, but not with my servant Moses. Not so with my Moses. I know where I located him. I know how his life was spared. I know what it cost me to raise him. I know I'm aware of his fault and his errors. I'm aware that he had failed before. I'm aware that he turned around and the Lord has shown mercy to him. Is that not so with my servant Moses? He is faithful in all my house. A faithful man. It takes faithfulness, mates, to follow a man that followed God. Moses that followed God faithfully. If we are thinking that our Moses must suffer, if your eyes does not look and see your Moses and say, what must I do for this Moses to continue in the way of the Lord? You are not doing it for Moses. It is a setup. But you have despised your Moses. You have murmured against your Moses. You have grumbled against your Moses. You have become familiar with the words of your Moses. You are pointing fingers at your Moses. You are angry against the Moses' family. They were challenging the family of Moses. They said he married the wrong person. But God said Moses is faithful. He said he's not just a prophet. it be us, the form of the Lord, why then? Why you not afraid to speak against my servant, against my Moses? Why are you so completely condescending that you have spoken against the one that beloved whose life, if the devil can kill a Moses in the wilderness, he would have died. So the people that God gave to you in your church, many of them that have a name today, they were hungry before. They have gone through pain before. They have abandoned their all to follow God. They have wept many nights. Many of them in the secret of their heart, they are saying, God, you gave me these people. Why is the problem not going away? Lord, arise. How dare us touch what God has preserved. God said he was faithful. I speak to him openly and not in parable. I told someone yesterday, I said, don't you know that there is an issue? Every time I want to pray with you, we set a time to pray, you are never available. It's either you are too busy. I said church is going to start on Sunday. Don't you think? You are telling me that we can pray together for 5 days. I said, don't you think that you can start now? Why 5 days? But the person does not know that the answer she was waiting for is in making herself diligent enough to say, I will stand by you. You have stood with many people. I will also stand by you. I will support your work. I will encourage your destiny. They don't know that it was a setup. And the person was giving me all sorts of reasons. I said, we can pray for 10 minutes. I said, okay, oh yeah. Let's pray now. And beloved, as soon as I said, let's pray, the heaven opened. I said, I want you to be the one to pray. But just before she starts, the heaven opened. And I said, oh, look at this. And so the prayer was not even for the ministry. Just a simple step answered our own question. So you do not know that the people you despise and mock, the people you complain and grumble about, they have your answer. He said, I don't talk with Moses with dark sayings in Proverbs. I speak the language Moses can hear because he's the most humble man in the earth. Humility does not mean kneeling down and rising up. Humility is to be divinely aligned with the word of God. That is what the rich young ruler cannot do. Just one more step to say, sell everything that you have and come and follow me. You don't get it. What are you earning? What have we made? What have we had that has not been given to us by God? And if God said, bulldoze it and follow me, God can build a skyscraper. When you get rid of your bungalow and God said that guy was alive, the rich young ruler was not. He left sorrowfully. He saw his stuff more than his God. Beloved, you and I can talk about the rich young ruler. What about you, the rich young believer? He called him the rich young ruler because potential of becoming great. Greatness is not a seed of knowing what you are doing. Those that you read in the Bible that became great, it's not because of their intelligence, of their smartness, of their ability to do what they have done. It is God that maketh great. He said to Abraham, I will make you great. I will bless you and make you great. And through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. But it takes the great to become the blessed, to become an instrument that God blesses the nations through. And to be great, it takes God to make great. God said, how dare you? Why then were you not afraid to kick against the prick, to speak against my servant? I didn't call him to, it's not your servant, it's serving me. How dare you raging against that man? And you are talking about his family. You know, God told me you must go. You are speaking about the man and his wife. You must go and apologize. And God, even though the man did not hear, I called the pastor yesterday. Every time I come to minister here, I hear something that is very subtle. A minister will say that this ministry of there's nothing like deliverance. Deliverance, you don't need to be delivered. And I shame me. How can we do ministry if God does not engage us? How can we effectively serve you? But beloved, there is a price to pay. God does not cast his pearls before swine. They spoke against him that God considered aligned with his word. Humble. I speak to him openly. He sees me. He beholds the form of the Lord. He sees God. He said, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant? God called him my servant, the one that serves me. He said, so the anger of the Lord burned against them. I'm sure Moses was shot, even my own family too. It's good enough for the Dathan, for the Abiram, and all of them to speak against me. Those ones, he had them speaking against Aaron. He told the earth to swallow them up. And beloved, God departed. God was raging. And God departed. When God departs, leprosy was imparted. God withdrew the cloud over the tents. Heaven stayed away from their tents. When heaven stayed away, the enemy can come and invade lives. So it doesn't matter how many times the individual prays, it is not until you know where you are wrong. And I am warning every one of us on this altar. Beware. God removed himself from their tents. And look, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow, because she was originator of the problem. God reached. His presence was withdrawn. They don't know that speaking against Moses was messing with the message of the messenger that sent him. When you speak against your Moses and your Moses become distressed, your Moses get distracted from fulfilling what God has sent them to do. So God prevented Moses from hearing it, but he stood to defend the word that he sent. His covenant. Moses has put his rod down in his wilderness. What you don't understand that it is a place of absolute surrender. That day, Moses resigned from being a shepherd man. He gave the instrument of his career, the instrument of his business, the instrument of everything that that man had, the remaining thing, what was left. He laid it down. He said, take it. Take it, God. And even our own skill, our own little brain, our own little things that we have, laying it down can be challenging. Like the rich young man ruler, you calculate and you permutate. We have forgotten that he gave it. They don't know that there has been an exchange. There is no man that is rightly called of God. Not that those who like to do it that are doing it. Somebody who is not ambitious, that God calls it. It doesn't matter their color or their state. It doesn't matter their gender. It does not really matter what they look like. They have not become God, but they are man under God. But we celebrate the people that are far from God, but we despise the word of a servant. We abuse, we grumble, we complain, we murmur. We see their faults. We touch their wrong. Beloved, they were his own family member. If his own family member can those he gave opportunity to, if they can speak against him and he didn't hear what his God had and judge them, then how much more people that are just, you don't know how the just starts. Prevalence is just going to start. Beloved, by the grace of God on May the 17th. But that church was spoken from to me for the very first time in 2006. It spoke to me about that church 2006. I know the place. I know the location. I was not going to God for church. My brother, Pastor Tolu, was described. I said, write down. I was spending time with my family. And the Lord spoke to me. I didn't even go back to the scribble. I literally just saw the scribble a while ago. And from that time, he would speak, show me different faces of that church. At the due time, when he said, abandon all, I need this now, you don't know what transpired. In the eyes of God, from that first day, it's already done. it's time to appear. So I'm taking you through the journey so that you see that man that you have warred against. It cost him. That man that you are murmuring against. That man that you are complaining and groaning about. That man that became your mate. That you have lost respect for. That man that you have humiliated and you have made to weep in the night. And he said, Amy. Amy, you are me. You mean me. That all that man can say to you, beloved, when the night was dark, all he said, God, but me. Is that man that you will go and beg today? They become too familiar with their Moses. It's my brother. Miriam is older than Moses. Miriam was the one that was there when they put Moses in the basket. Because you were there before I appear on the face of the earth. Because you have been saved before your pastor got saved. Because you have been too familiar. You know you that man has no color. When you met him, the ministry was just starting out. That gives you no chance. It does not give you the audacity, beloved, to despise that man. You might have even been the one that make that man. That you are the one that made him. What do I mean? You are the support system of that man. You are the instrument that God used to plant that work, to make that work, to get to where it is. God sent me to you. You have no right to have despised, to have murmured, to have warred with words, to have grumbled, to have set a conspiracy against that work and against that personality. I will not pray panic prayer on this altar. Nobody is permitted to alter what God has uttered in his mouth. And God said, only mercy this morning. Only mercy. So, God departed. Leprosy was imparted. Tell me what pastor can cleanse the leprosy when the individual, even who has such an unclean spirit, they can still be wearing clothes. There are many in our churches that have become unclean. There are many on the altar that has become unclean because God has departed. They are still doing business. They were still serving in our churches. But God said, I am no longer there. God can depart from a ministry. The Lord showed me a vision. I saw in the church, activities was going on everywhere. But Jesus was not in their activity. He was sitting with the crown on his head, with, you know, in the same way of the crucified states. They were running church, but they abandoned him in the basement. And in the basement, every filthy, dirty thing was there. Jesus was looking. But I died. I shed my blood. Look, business was going on upstairs. But beloved, they left him downstairs. They were running riots upstairs. And everybody walking, it is a service, it is a church. But beloved, God sent me this morning. The sickness will just go. The problem will just be over. You will not need to call another project work and call a prayer project. All that you need, somebody will leave this place to go and apologize to the people that you have murmured and grumbled and complained about, to the people that you think you know better. You know what they were meant to be doing, but you don't know where they are with God. The people that you have become familiar with and you have spoke against, they might not have heard, but their God has heard. Whatever you have done that closed the heavens, you want to go and make right what was wrong this morning. Very, very clear and sharp. How can you sponsor delay in fruitfulness and you promote barrenness? How could you sponsor the trouble, the affliction, the harassment because you have touched what God has kept? Beloved, Peter said in Luke 18, when the rich young ruler was sad, of forsaking all for followership, it's not just the ministers, even the believer. When you see a believer that is 300% God, when you touch them, that person's hand is about to wither. I remember as I was praying that yesterday, I see somebody's garment, the cloth of your dignity, the robe of righteousness, that the enemy thought they would cover with the robe. They bewitched the individual. I saw that it is like fire. Those who clothed that person, they remove it in a hurry. You can't do God and to become a prey in the hand of the devil. This is prayer. 2 hours. The man left sorrowfully. Look at him. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. For they who had it said, then who can be saved? It's not that it is bad to be rich. Beloved, but when your heart cannot be released to God, how can your hand be? He said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Peter said, who then can be saved? Jesus said, what man cannot do, God can do. And look at Peter. We have left our homes and followed you. Many ministers, they've left their comfort zone, they've left their home. Some are in the missionary field. And you think that the snake of the field will bite them? No. God can protect and God will. He said there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom. his wife and thought that God would not arise. Oh, dear sickness, to go into the house of Peter and slay his mother-in-law and thought that the God of the heaven and earth would not stand in that situation. He said, we have left everything. A breadwinner, a man that takes care of his family. He said, we have left everything. And you think the Peter will rot in the prison? And you don't think that God will shake the earth, will rock every rockables and break every chains? He will walk with a Peter who has left all with his angelic host to go into his prison and bring him out? Do you think that God cannot defend his work or defend his name? He has made a promise. You will not receive many times as much as at this time only, but even in age to come, you will have eternal life. He secures the Lord of those who faithfully and diligently followed him to the very end. Here is the invitation. The two-edged sword has been applied. For the myriads who had murmured, who had complained, for the Datans and the Abrams and their network, who had made their pastors to become their discussion points all the time. And I've described the state of that church. There are two times that church prays in a service. And you are the one that talk about your pastor and his family. And God said, mercy will bring you restoration this morning. And mercy will reinstate what has been lost if you will cry out. And there is a person who shut her own womb because they despise the word that has gone forth in this place. And God said, by the mercy, if you will cry out, it does not have to be for 500 years. If you will cry out for mercy and you meaningfully mean it, God will walk back into your situation, and the angel of the Lord, who is responsible for your fruitfulness, will locate you this morning. And you are a believer, and you have worried yourself to death, concern yourself about what people are saying about you. What is your business? You got distracted so that you can retract. You are distracted so that you can be reduced. But why don't you this morning ask God for mercy? Moses made a turn. Said, I step out of time. It was the people, what they were saying about him, that made it. They said to Moses, they said, have you also come? You want to come and kill us? Because of what they say, Moses ran away. Even Pharaoh has not had yet, but he has took a race and ran away because of what the people were saying about him. If you have run away from the place where God placed you, beloved, if you have abandoned what God committed into your hands, because of what others are saying or because of what you feel, it is time for you to come back and say, God, I am sorry I allow myself to be distracted. Have mercy upon me. This is not what I want to do on this altar, but what he told me, he said, this is important because I saw people that were wounded, people that were hurt, people who have not been fruitful, people who have gone through in the satanic oppression simply because it is not God. It is what they have caused to happen. Beloved, Aaron turned unto Miriam. He said, behold, she was leprous. And he said to Moses, oh my Lord, for the first time, he gave Moses the honor because God proved that he was behind that man. He said, do not account this sin to us in which we have acted foolishly and in which we have sinned. Oh, do not let us be like one dead whose flesh is up eating away when he comes from his mother's womb. And Moses had to cry out unto the Lord, heal her, I pray. My own sister, my own friend, the people that I served, the people that I labored on, the people that I gave opportunity to, Moses has to cry. Look, God said, if her father had put spit in her face, will she not bear her shame for 7 days? Let her be shut up for 7 days outside of the camp. And afterward, she may be received again. I don't want to be shut out of the camp of where the presence of the Lord is for 1 minute. But look, that woman was cut off for 7 days, humiliated. Beloved, he was dirty and filthy. Why? Just because he touched what God has kept by himself. He touched the one that has covenant with God. Beloved, so we are standing this morning and asking God, Lord, every one of those situations are represented here today. Many times ignorance. They don't know the covenant that he had with his God. But they rubbished him because of familiarity. They don't know the price that he had paid. They were not in his wilderness for 40 years. They didn't know the one that speaks grammar in the palace become the one that is speaking to the sheaves or whatever fly in the wilderness. They didn't know that he left the place. The family familiar in Abraham was on the journey of the world. They didn't know that along the line, God has come and established a covenant with him. And Abimelech wants to take his portion. Beloved, here is the word of the Lord. Even Paul, when he bear witness after they have killed Stephen, he encountered God. Jesus came into that situation on his road to Damascus. Beloved, when He was threatening and plotting against the disciples of the Lord, those who are forsaking all. Every threat of the enemy against any prevailer that is committed 100% to God this morning, it will backfire on those who are sending threats against us in the mighty name of Jesus. He went to the high priest. He said, give me letters to go to Damascus and to the churches. And if he found any of his way, whether they were men or women, he will bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He still sent himself on an errand to threaten lives, to make men to abandon what they have been called to do. And beloved, he cannot go on that call and not meet the God who called the people. The Bible says, on that way, you can meet him on the way. He said, let me go and get them and bind them. And beloved, very close to the place of arresting the believers, the God of the disciple, the God of those who are forsaking all to follow him, he met him on the way. And he said, do you think you were after them? You were after me. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? When Moses' persecutors were answered by God, it is Miriam, Aaron, why are you against me? He said, I don't know. At least it was ignorance. Well, thou Lord, and the Lord said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. It is so hard. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And God said, even you, look at the ministry of Paul. He said, you will meet somebody that will tell you what to do. He was blind for 3 days. He kicked against the prick. The one that can rescue him was the very one that he was fighting against. He saw the hand of the Lord. He said, God said, it is hard to kick, to strike with the heel. It is hard for you. To strike with the heel against the pricks. The pricks is like an iron guard. What will you use your heel to kick against an iron? She go near me. He said, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. That is Christ the Lord, who is behind anyone that is called. That is that chief cornerstone. and nobody tampers with him. When they tamper with his people, beloved, none of us, you can't see Jesus and go and shoot him. It's the tested stone. It's the chief cornerstone. It's the precious cornerstone. It's a sure foundation. And those who rely on it will never be stricken with panic. It's the stone that the builders have rejected, but has become the chief cornerstone. Beloved, I want us to go to God. I have spent 2 hours and 5 minutes engaging us this morning only to press us. He said, the reason for your trouble is that you have touched the anointed of God. He said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Look, Abimelech again with Isaac, when they took Rebekah, and beloved, trouble broke out in the land. He told his people, he said, anyone who harms this man, you better don't touch him. If you touch him or his wife, you will be put to death. But many have died in church. Many have been wasted in church. Many have been sick among us. Many bodies, heavens have been closed. Many have gone into error. Many have made mistakes, costly mistakes. Because they didn't touch with the hand, but they touched with the mouth. They didn't touch with the mouth, but they touched with their action. They touched with their attitude. And therefore, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 7, he said, I have seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking like slaves on the land, because he who digs a pit may fall into it. A man touched Mordecai. He despised Mordecai. Haman punished Mordecai to make him suffer. Haman demanded honor from Mordecai, the one who feared God. Haman usurped the authority of Mordecai. He took his place. He silenced him. It was only for a season. He dug a pit. He fall into it. When the wall is broken, then the serpent bites. So I don't know how we can do ministry and how the contractors of prayer praise without understanding the reason for the trouble. Psalm 57 verse 6 said, they spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. So the people that we murmur, grumble, and mourn about, and complain about, and you know better than them, beloved, they might suffer the painful heart. Pain in their heart, only for a moment. You might set them up and dig a pit in their path. David said, they dug a pit in my path, but they are falling into it themselves. Why? Because the God that spoke to Jacob is still alive. Jacob said to Laban, I've done everything good to you, but look at how you pay me back. These 10 times you have cheated me. You have changed my wages. He said, but my righteousness will speak for me. It will not lie. He doesn't have his personal righteousness. It is the righteousness. He was a cheater. But the righteousness of God that he encountered on the way to Laban's house in Genesis 28 that was given to him by covenant, that is what spoke in the house of his Laban for him. He said, my righteousness will speak for me. It will not lie. And you and I have been clothed with the royal robe of righteousness. And that righteousness has a voice that speaks to defend and to secure the righteous, to deliver the portion of the faithful, to secure that your Sarah is not polluted, and whoever has your property in their custody will release them in a hurry. It said the righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. So God gave a commendation about Moses. He said he was faithful. He's humbled among everyone in the face of the earth. A man singled out by God. And God said, I don't speak with him only in vision or in dream. He's my friend. I speak to him openly. He has won my heart. So I can't see his heart broken. When you speak against him, I will answer. I want us to go before God. Because God will deliver the righteous. And ask the Lord by your mercy. Lord, locate the areas of my wrong. In touching your anointing. Locate the areas of my wrong and have mercy upon me. Locate, Lord, where I have messed up. And visit me by your mercy. Erase my wrong. Lord, open my heaven again. If your heaven has been closed, beloved, you are saying to God, have mercy upon me. Locate me. I went in the presence of someone. They called me for a meeting. I got into the meeting for doing nothing. This person was just abusing me. And God shut my mouth. It was like somebody, I sat in the presence of that person, went crazy. I don't know what happened. All sorts of abuse. And I could not open my mouth. And immediately the person that was abusing me started crying. A big man with a name and a fame begins to cry in my presence. I said, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I believe in you. I believe in your ministry. I believe in the grace of God that is over your life. And the person said, but I was sick. I thought you would know. I said, I can't know. I can only know what God tells me. When did I become a magician? I didn't know. So because you thought I should know, I don't know. You think I deserve so much of this? That shows to me that it's not in size. Anybody can nothing and behave wrongly against it and set themselves up. So all that we need this morning is mercy of God. Locate me. Why would you keep yourself barren? Why should your heaven be closed? Because of murmuring, complaining, because of grumbling, because you have deserved, you have despised the word of God, because you have rejected the help. That person told me yesterday, they know, and I have found out. And the person told me, said, when I challenged that, the person said, if I have listened to you over a year ago, I would not be in the problem that I'm in right now. I said, mercy is bringing you out of that problem. He said, but you have said it that time. He said, 2 years ago, you said, don't do something. I said, don't be involved in that problem. In that case, they want to use you. He said, I didn't listen. He said, look at how I've ended. I said, it's not me. It's not my word. I'm not the one punishing you. You despise the instruction of God. So let mercy. God is visiting you now with mercy. And I saw, beloved, within a split second, what brought her into trouble was taken out immediately. So, why? Mercy. I need you, Lord. Even if I am a grumbler against my familiar, that follow God, I have murmured against your anointed. I have ridiculed and brought to reproach. I have caused to suffer pain. What they were doing to Moses was making that Moses to experience pain. When Abraham gave Sarah, that was his all that he had left. Love has been separated from him. That was his only hope. You would think, and Abraham goes to bed when his wife was in the house of Abimelech. That is a painful process. So when you think your pastor now has color, were you there when he was hungry? Did you clothe him when he was naked? Were you there when his wife has got nothing? When that woman have one single bra? When that woman has to go and borrow to buy food? When that woman that you disrespect in your church was the same woman that stood by that man and said, come on, husband or whatever he calls her, if she calls him, and said, it's going to be all right. Just keep on going. It might be tough, but I know God has spoken to you. I will walk with you. And then you read one Bible, or you know Psalms, and you know whatever, you know Greek and Hebrew translation, and you are despising the one that God has called. Were you there? So you are saying to the Lord, I have played foolish. Aaron said, I did foolishly. I lack understanding. See, she has become leprous. Have mercy upon me. We grumbled by mistake. We murmured because we lack no knowledge. That is why it's dangerous. What you don't know, don't speak against it. If you don't know, go and seek for knowledge. When you hear the word, it's too deep for you. Say, God, I don't get it. Show me. That is what else above us. I used to think I didn't know where God is taking me. When he showed me, I'm hearing my voice, I'm speaking, and I see people being set free in their own is showing me the nitty-gritty details about the problems of the people. Some details you do not want to see. How can a same family, one afflicted with the same disease, and another with the same type of soul, as the other soul was being healed, another soul was breaking out? What are you talking about? You are saying, God, show me mercy, cleanse me, locate my area of wrong, Lord, repair the damage I have caused myself. Repair and restore me. Lord, show me mercy. You do not know, say to God, me or money or and me or more. I don't know. I do not know. I don't know that I have broken the edge. I do not know that I dug the pit. I do not know that I was my own enemy. Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. In the name of Jesus. Have mercy upon me. Beloved, if you don't cry, meaning it in your heart today, what you don't want the world to know will be open to the world and you will not be able to cover it. What you are thinking is hidden to man will come to the open and you will not be able to cover it. It will be too late. For Miriam, God said, shut him out for seven days. The one that has spoken for God, the one that has led the people, was shut out for 7 days. Beloved, a day is like 1,000 years where God is concerned. 1,000 years is like a day. Don't rubbish what you don't know about. And if you are thinking, Pastor Ellen, oh Lord, that church is elect, I will be sorry for you. For even imagining it, you don't know when he called me. You don't know what he sent me. You were not there when he spoke to me. I'm appealing to you. Beloved, say, God, show me mercy. Show me mercy. God told me I will use your case to judge many. You are saying, Lord, every judgment that I have sent upon my own life as a result of complaining, of grumbling, of murmuring against what is holy, and I call it profane. Lord, arise, arise, and show me mercy. 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 Repair my wrongs. Lord, restore me back. I want to know your presence again. I want to know your power. I want to see your glory. Lord, visit me by your mercy, O God. Daliboto sipananga kuza. Izo suprundo gosiate. And somebody must go back. You will call the pastor. There is no shame about it. You will go and put right what you have done wrong. Because God told me, if you don't fix it, you can run anywhere. Go to any mountain. Go to any hill. He said he would not hear. Simple instruction is that you go and make right what you have done wrong and say, God, you were answering. I didn't even speak to their face. Why? Why? Beloved, I've worked in houses where they worked me out. God sent me to go and minister. They told me, they opened the door and said, excuse me, please can you go? Please can you go? When they're still pleasing me, I better get out before they break my head. But beloved, years later, those who said, please can you go? God will speak about them as I call them now. And I called because God showed me what they have been through. And I said, this is what God said. Is that true? Said, very, very much true. Do you need it to have gone through that? Your solution was brought to you. Do you think Pastor Ellen likes going to places? You think I love my house? Even when there's no chair there, when I sat on the floor for more than a year and there was no seat in my house, when there was no food in my house, when I have nobody to help me, I love that place. That was my heaven. Heaven opens there when I call it answer. So I am not a walkabout pastor that will be walking to anybody's house. I'm going around the block. Leaving my house is a critical thing for me. So don't think that because you have that pastor at your beck and call, he has become your familiar person and you despise the grace. God said you are despising me. Beloved, my eyes open. I will think everybody takes a hold of the word, but I see. I want all fear, all love, they were despising the war. And I see their angels going with their stuff. I just turn back. And me, I'm trying to reach you and say, God, this is the word. Minister to that case. He said, Obari Wani. If you see what they are doing, you will not even call for me to answer. And that is why mercy must locate us. Every moment before God, it is critical. When you challenge the man that has your word, you are challenging the word of God to you. And therefore, you are saying to the Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Bring me restoration. Help me. If you ask for help, there will be healing this morning. Your nightmares will stop. There will be deliverance this morning. Beloved, because you have not hurt the person, you have only hurt yourself. But God can release the balm of Gilead to hurt you and to heal you and remove all the hurts that you have had. And if you are in the church, you are a schemer. Even if you are on the altar and you still come to the prayer line, you are scheming. And you know who you are. You are still mixing with the saints. You are a bundle of liars. Bundle of lies. You are saying to God, I don't know how to fix the lies that I have told, but will you show me mercy? Fix it for me. Give me another opportunity. He told me, he said, they were like the Jews, but they were synagogue of Satan. Satan. They have become an owl for every devilish behavior, personalities that are neither God nor the devil, in between two opinions. And you have said to God, I want to change my position. Turn to you. Help me. Help me. He said, I have not been sent to the lost. I have not been sent to those who does not need a physician. So when we behave as if we don't need the word, it moves on to our neighbor and it deals with that neighbor who is excited about the word, who wants the word, who wants to change, who wants the help, who wants to turn around, who wants to experience God. And they will experience Him in a tangible way. And beloved, you say, Lord, it is now my turn. I want everything to turn around. Lord, it is my turn. I turn to you by your mercy. Turn things around for me. I turn to you by your mercy. Turn things around for me. I turn to you by your mercy. Turn things around for me. Lord, open my heaven. Lord, open my heaven. Lord, open my heaven. Lord, open my heaven. Oh, Lord, open my heaven. Oh, Lord, open my heaven. I turn to you. Turn everything around. Turn everything around. Turn everything around. Turn everything around for me. Lekiako Zozua. Andagagaloprosiate. Endegegege Libruso. Ondege Kustosia. Ilebrentusozo. Ondege Kwasosia. In the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, look at the way John ended. John the Baptist, the man that had fire. Everything was going good to him. He even bear witness that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the first person to show that God showed it to. John was not an ordinary man, but he was offended at Jesus. He had forgotten that he said, he must increase that I might decrease. He sent an inquiry. He said, go and find out whether Jesus is the one or should we look for another? How can you doubt in the dark what you know in the daytime? In the broad daylight, heaven was open. He said, God said, the one that I see, the heaven open, and the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him, he said, that is the Son of God. How? That same John, in Luke 7, could send a message because Herod has locked him up. And he thought Jesus didn't come on time to come and bail him out. He said, send his servant, are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for someone else? You just said Pastor Ellen is anointed yesterday. You just said that you knew that God called him. Yes, called her yesterday. You just told that pastor, I will support you for life. I will serve you in this place. You have just recently said so. I'll come. So soon and so quick, he was going to open the pastor by. Because Jesus, he didn't know that he was coming to a closure of his season. He was looking for a bailout. When certain things are coming to closure in our lives, don't try to keep it on. Don't try to keep what God has killed. Don't try to rescue what God has caused to go away. Beloved, he was offended. They said to Jesus, Are you the one who is to come? We were sent. Or should we look for another? And they saw Jesus healing, performing also the word. What else do you want to see? God is moving. Because your own case is yet to receive a visitation does not give you a liberty to doubt God. He was looking for another. But others were getting healed. They send us. Who send you to come and check Pastor Ellen out or Prevail us out? And everybody is having an answer. But because you're an investigator, your own answer has not located you. Jesus, in their presence, of the presence of those who are sent to come and make inquiry, to find out whether it's genuine or it's fake. They saw miracles. He said, go and say, Apostle John, what you have seen and heard. And Jesus was even telling them that the blind see. It should be a joy to him, but he was offended. There are people that see the move of God, that see us walking in another level, that are beloved. There are people that have tormented me for years, telling me, have you started church? Have you started church? And when we send a broadcast out that the church is starting, their question stops. They can't ask anymore. Why should that not be a joy to you? He said, go and tell him what you have seen. The lame are walking. The blind are receiving their sight. Those who have skin disease, they are healed. And the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are told the good news. And anyone who is not offended because of me is blessed. Offense led John to being wasted. His head was cut off. Offense. Why? Some people, when your friends are getting married because you are still single, you are so sad. When your friends get a job because you are still looking, the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who are mourning. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Your prophet, you don't need a prophet. You need to just put things right. He said, rejoice with those who rejoice. Why is it that you are sad? When others are breaking through and breaking forth, why is it that is when you think about your situation, why is it like this? Why should others become the measuring line for you? Were you there when God created them? Did God told you that I will heal that person yesterday, then yours will be the day before? Or did God say that they are the yardstick for your miracle? Jesus is. He said, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Mind not idols, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Your conceit is saying that it should have bailed me out yesterday. A pastor never give up on anybody. Keep looking. Keep in. Because I don't know no pastor. I don't know whether there are people that are before me. But with my little experience, if God gives you that grace, you will love your people. You will always watch out for your people. You think about the people more than you think about yourself. Because that is a call. If you find yourself, you are disinterested in people, you do not need to be in ministry. Go and just resign and go and serve Dodo. So it is the heart that God gave it. And if you are called because of people's atrocities, behaviors, because they maligned your authority, disgraced, humiliated, and embarrassed you because they have rejected and refused you, and you have become hard-hearted. You are saying, God, I am wrong. It's not about them. They didn't call me. Lord, restore me. Let this stony heart be converted to heart of flesh by your mercy. Garrison and guard my heart. Number 16, Moses' heart was broken. They were not speaking about him, they were speaking about Aaron. And Moses put his calling on the line. He said, God, if indeed you are the one that called me. He summoned them. In number 16, he said to Korah, listen, you Levite, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the Israelite community and brought you near himself to do the work at the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before the community and minister to them? What a privilege. When God calls us and gives us an assignment, are you not satisfied with the toilet you are cleaning, with the message you give? Are you not satisfied with the little responsibility God gave you? He said, when you are faithful in little things, it will make us to become beloved. It will give us our own. If you are faithful in what belongs to others. But when did you become a contender against your Moses? He said, do you want to get the priesthood also? Priesthood was promised to Aaron. God gave it because he was obedient in serving his own brother. But beloved, he said, if you now want the priesthood, let everybody come and let's find out who God calls. And they came. Beloved, he has brought you and all your fellow Levites near himself, but now you are trying to get the priesthood too. It is against the law that you and all your followers are banded together. Who is Aaron that you should grumble against him? Who is Aaron? You don't know that Aaron is a servant of Moses who is serving God. That God has said is humble. I speak with him not just in a vision or a dream. I speak to him openly. You see how they ended. Many times we don't even fight the pastors. We fight the usher. We fight the worshiper. We fight the coordinators. Beloved, when they say sit down there, you are fighting your colleagues, your fellow believer, because they think they are lording it over you. And look, and just because of that, you set yourself up. And look at how things have ended. Somebody came to confess to me the other day. He said, as you are coming into this church, one of the head ushers said, we know what this woman is coming here to do. We will block her. And really, they achieved it. They put me far, far, far at the back. And they don't know what I was coming for. I'm coming because God wants me there. And then the person told me what happened to that lady, the head usher. So if you have become a principality in a place and you are obstructing the flow of God in that place, it is a setup that you are sent to the Lord. I have become a principality. that affected others from being blessed. There are people that they cannot allow others to come into the ministry because they are insecure. They will chase them out rather than creating the right atmosphere that others can feel comfortable to serve or to walk in or also to be blessed. What are we? Who are we? What are we doing? Why should you come and everything just stop working? Why should you be part of a team and nobody can feel comfortable for that team to increase? Why don't you say, God, I change my ways. Help me. Let me be a tool in your hand that increases and enhances your work and your doing. Do not let me be an enemy of God in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Beloved, they are very subtle, but they are inside of man. Very subtle. You don't know what you are capable of doing until you do it. And you want to be honest. I said to God, I didn't know I could do this, but I did it anyway. Lord, show me mercy. Heal me and change my story. Show me mercy. Heal me and change my story. It doesn't matter what area of sickness. Some are physical in the body. Some are sickness of the mind. Some are oppression of the night. Some are affliction. Some are under closed heaven. You have said it is a sickness. Lord, have mercy. Heal me. I have now fixed my wrong before you. This affliction must go away. Show me mercy. Show me mercy. Show me mercy. Show me mercy. Beloved, a man did not apologize. Too late. He finished his whole family. But beloved, Aaron appealed for Miriam. Because of Miriam's murmuring and complaining, he kept the whole family of Israel stagnant. Nobody was moving forward until Miriam recovered. The Lord told me on Friday last week about the month that we are going in. He said it is a month of moving forward. Just because of somebody's foolish behavior kept the old people stagnant for that 7 days. Beloved, I want you to extend your prayers to your family. You are saying, Lord, that atrocities that I've committed, that had affected the accelerated movement of my family members, of myself, of my career, of my business. Lord, show me mercy. Lord, heal my family. Heal their businesses. Heal their careers. And let there be a turnaround for us. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, let there be a turn around. Let there be a turn around. Let there be a turn around. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that God has dealt with issues in your life this morning, and you believe that mercy has spoken, but you are only going to take a step. There is no shame about it. When we deal and we open ourselves to God and God repair what we have done wrong and God give an instruction, Beloved, that is why Aaron said, we have done foolishly. Don't forget that Moses didn't hear the discussion. God heard, and God judged them. Moses only saw leprosy. But Aaron confessed. He said, we have done foolishly. You might need to go to God and go to the people that you have done foolishly about and said, I have done foolishly. Help! Forgive me. God, as I lighted my wrong, Lord, forgive me. God has forgiven me. Excuse me, will you forgive me? God would have prepared the way before you get there, and the man would say, ah, I didn't know. But hey, I forgave you. A young man got converted the other day, and after his conversion, he had stolen from his boss, I think according to them, 10,000 naira, long time ago, and they never figured him out. And that man went back to the same boss and said, I just gave my life to Jesus. I stole 10,000 when I was working with you. And that boss said, for you to have come and tell me, even though we didn't figure you at that time, he gave him, I don't know, a lot of money and said, just go. I congratulate you that you are now a believer. So when you go to the people, God had already fixed the path that you will tread on, that you will meet with favor, and flavor begins to be added to your life. I want us to go to God and thank him this morning. Him, I would rather have God speak to me about my situation than for me to waste my time and be chanting prayers and not get any answer. Beloved, I would rather ask God to expose the reason why the serpent is beating me, that is causing deadly disease to take place in the body. I would rather have God to correct my wrong, and rather than for me to remain in trouble. So I am thankful. I would rather have God show me my fault, rather than everybody knows that I pray, I go to church all the time, but nothing is changing. I would rather God rebuke me so that he can restore me. And therefore, I am thankful. Lord, I am grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Father, on behalf of the people, this morning, the sons and the daughters that you have committed and connected and by divine arrangement brought into this commission, Lord, we have laid before you, O God, with all openness. We have confessed our sins before you and we have repented before you. Lord, you instructed me to say what I have said according to what you have shown to me and your word that you have given to me. And your people have requested for your mercy, for your forgiveness. Therefore, I stand on behalf of other ministers and ministries, of the men and women of God, of our sons and daughters of God that have suffered pain, that were distracted in ministry because of mumblings and grumblings and complainings, because of every act of foolishness that was committed against them by believers. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that your mercy will prevail over judgment and the predicament of sickness, of barrenness, of lack of fruitfulness, of closed heaven, of miscarriage, abortion, of opportunity, losses. Oh God, defeat that has been experienced as a result of breaking the wall and causing the serpent to bite, as a result of digging the pit that has caused men to fall into it. Lord, as a result of all of this offense, grumbling, complaints, and murmuring that has torn the princes to walk like slaves on the land, the people that were meant to be rich to become poor, those who are meant to prosper to become the beggars, Lord, those whose heads were meant to be lifted that has been reduced and humbled, Lord, those who are meant to have a voice that they have been voiceless, my Father, I am asking, Lord, that your mercy, you told me that when we ask for mercy, you will show mercy. You said, because you have said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Therefore, I decree and declare, O God that heareth and answereth, when I call, let your mercy override every judgment against the people that has manifested itself in defeat, in losses, in delay, in miracles, in no miracles, in delay, in intervention, in helplessness, in hopelessness. Lord, arise in whatsoever has manifested as barrenness. Lord, let there be an overturning this morning that you begin to bring us into fruitfulness, into greatness, into flourishing, into experiencing the blessing of God, into healing, into recovery, into restoration, into favor, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Let every form of sickness be gone in the name of Jesus. For it is written, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if he has committed any sin, they shall be forgiven him. Therefore, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, let every sin be forgiven, and let the healing of the righteous begin to break forth, even openly and speedily, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Spiritual healing, let it take place. Material, financial, physical healing of the body, even healing of the soul, healing of business and career, let it begin to find expression. Healing of the arms, healing of the children, let it take place now in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I speak unto that soul. The individual that, instead of moving forward, was going backward. Every point goes backward. Every point goes backward. If there is a little attainment, the next thing goes backward. I decree that that spirit of backwardness is broken over your life in the mighty name of Jesus. I command your release. I decree, go forward from today in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lequazo, also prende gequaza. Every bewitchment and affliction against your finances, I command it to be broken in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Everything that the wicked has done to make and bring to zero, everything that you have labored and worked for, I decree today, darkness is broken. You are released into plenty. Go and flourish. Go and be fruitful. Go and see no more. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise. We honor you. And we return the glory to you for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thank you for making tremendous power, victory, healing, deliverances, health, favor, Lord, to be available, the miraculous, the divine intervention of God, the restoration and recovery, the repair and gain, Lord, for giving it expression in our lives even today. Thank you for loving us enough for coming to us this way. We give you praise in the name of God the Father, in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the Holy Spirit. Now unto you, the Ancient of Days, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, my Father and my God who called me and sent me, the one who assigned me to do what you have called me to do, unto you that perform your word unto your servant, unto you that watch over your word to perform it, unto you who is yet able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever think or imagine by the power of your spirit that is at work in us, unto you we return the glory, unto you we return the honor, unto you we return the praise and all adoration this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you have done. Let the glory, the honor, go to Calvary. For we have prayed in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. Blessed be your name. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, I celebrate you and I congratulate you for being part of this meeting. Yes, it's after 8, but you have waited. What the Lord has done in you for you this morning, it is forevermore. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. See you later tonight.